Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert. I am the founder of Talking with Heroes. December 2015, this makes our 10th year. We first went on the air with an audio program back in 2005. And then from 2006 to 2011, it was all trips back and forth to Iraq and Afghanistan with our troops, going out on missions with them in the villages, basically covering on video what most people in America didn't really see much of, and that's the good things they were doing, the progress that was happening, helping the people. So if you want to find out more about our history, go to TalkingWithHeroes, heroes.com/about. And then also for current programs, recent programs, audio and video, go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. A little over a year ago, some of you who listen regularly may have heard me say this before, but a little over a year ago, I received a call from Bert Gillette with an alliance of military support groups, www.r4alliance.org. At that time, they had 19 member organizations that had kind of banded together to collaborate. And a little over a year later, that's close to 70 now, may even be 70 now. Last I heard, I think it was 68, with more in the process of being approved. These are organizations stretching across America. Some of them have chapters all across the country, and it all revolves around recreational therapy. Most of these organizations are veterans helping veterans, military families helping military families. And so I started doing audio programs with them over a year ago, and we have now interviewed or helped create programs with over 50 of their members. Again, it's www.r4alliance.org. You can learn about these organizations and also be able to listen to what they said. Just go back to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. There's an article in the left column that says listen to details about 45 R4 Alliance members, partners, veterans, families, programs. And you can go through there. There's a little paragraph for each program, and then there's a link. When you click it, the audio program just starts playing, almost like putting a CD in. You can listen while you're working on your computer. And so we've been doing the video programs late this year. Go to youtube.com/BobC9246 and see the programs where you actually can watch the people that are involved, watch these veterans, listen to their stories. They're absolutely amazing. So tonight, we're going to be talking with another soldier here, another veteran. His name is Matthew Staton. He's staff assistant to the Secretary of the Army. He's a retired U.S. Army captain. He was deployed to Iraq in July 2003, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. He was injured. He's been through a lot of rehab and also recreational therapy. But in September 2007, he began his current service as a civilian at the Department of the Army, a direct advisor and staff member to the Secretary of the Army for ill, injured, and combat wounded soldier matters and concerns. And so what I'd like to do first is say thank you for your service, sir. And welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. I'm glad you got to call in, okay? And so if you don't mind, could you start out and just start talking a little bit about, you know, maybe what led you to enlist in the Army, and then talk about your service, talk about Iraq.
Okay. I have a very strong military background in my family, minus my father, who unfortunately for medical reasons could not go into the service during the Vietnam. But I have multiple grandfathers, great-grandfathers, great-uncles, family members that have served through many of our nation's wars. And I've always had that sense of kind of calling to the military. And my parents would always tell me, they knew at a young age that I was more than likely going to go into the military in some form. So I graduated high school. I attended the Virginia Military Institute. However, I took a little bit different approach. I did not take my commission coming out of the Virginia Military Institute, and I enlisted in the service in the fall of 1999. I was going for basic training there at Sand Hill over on Fort Benning, left there, went to airborne school, and then arrived at my first duty station in Vicenza, Italy, and stationed there for a little over 2+ years. It was unique being able to train both in European theaters and Northern Africa prior to 9/11. And then after 9/11, I went back through the officer candidate school, the infantry officer basic course, and just changed from being to an officer in the infantry. And I arrived at my first unit at Fort Carson. So it's that sense of family led me into the military and had a very unique experience, even just starting out in the military.
And now you were, so you were deployed to Iraq, right, in 2003?
That's correct. Following infantry officer basic course there, I immediately arrived out at Fort Carson and caught up with the unit in Iraq in 2003 and was there for just over 7.5 months before I was wounded.
And I, you talked a little bit about it and what you sent me, or at least I read about you had a wound in your leg from gunshot, you had some TBI. This was what, because of multiple IEDs, right?
That's correct. Yes, I was wounded, and that was from a gunshot wound. Actually, it was multiple gunshot wounds. The first round entered the upper part of my left thigh in the hip region, and the other five were impacted into the vest, so they didn't penetrate my body. So that was the primary reason why I was evacuated out of theater in January 29, 2004. However, prior to that, in August, September, and October of 2003, during my deployment, I was exposed to multiple improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, throughout that term because we were trying to prevent those from going off on folks. So that exposure was both having insurgents detonate them, but a lot of them were what we call command detonated, meaning we would find them before they went off. We would have to destroy them. But at that point in time, we were finding so many. I think my platoon, along with my sister platoon, we were averaging somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 35 a day we were finding.
Wow.
So our EOD assets, our explosive ordnance guys, were literally running out of C4 plastic explosives to blow them up. So we did it what's called a snuffing operation, where we would just use the main gun on a Bradley or 25-millimeter cannon, and we would fire one AP round, crack the round open, and then fire a high explosive round and detonate. However, not knowing the effects of these rounds going off, we would be in what you would call danger close. Some of them as close as 25 yards away inside a protected vehicle, and then other than having our bell rung, kind of like when you're playing football or doing stuff, you just shook it off and you went back to your normal duties. We didn't think anything of it until later on in 2005, we were asked, most of us that had been deployed during that deployment were asked to come back and be screened for TBI, and that's when I was diagnosed with it because I had noticed I was having memory issues and et cetera with it. But with that, that's when the services, the medical folks, caught up and really tackled getting everybody that had deployed during those first rotations, both Afghanistan and Iraq, to be tested, determine if we had it, and then that's when a lot of our normal today protocols are in place that weren't in place when we were there, because nobody truly had a significant handle or an idea that this would become an issue or a signature injury.
Okay, now after you were medically retired from the Army, I understand you got involved in some way in recreational therapy. Is that right? And
through my current job as being that subject matter expert to the secretary, it's part of my job is to know a lot of the programs that are out there and to help get our soldiers to it. But as I was doing that, I was realizing that I needed to get back into that. I needed to do that same type of recreational sports activity that I did prior to even being in the military and then while in. And so I started partaking of a lot of these recreational trips that are for my peers and myself to be able to go. But I didn't really start that until 2010.
Okay, and then you met Bert, is that right? I know I'm trying to remember some of the things we talked about on the phone. Somehow you got connected with R4 Alliance, is that right?
That's correct. I met Bert at a Higher Ground event, which is one of the many organizations that are part of R4 Alliance. And I met them at a whitewater rafting trip there on the Middle Fork of the Salmon River in Idaho.
Okay, and talk about now you're working with the Secretary of the Army. Talk about what you do there.
What's my job? My job is to take whatever the issue is. If it's a single soldier who has written the Secretary, it's to help provide perspective on what the soldier's going through, their family members are going through my own experiences, both on active duty and into the veteran realm, and help work to alleviate that issue they may be having. Those issues can range from congressional inquiries where a soldier or a veteran has written their congressman or senator. Those also come into looking at Army policies. How do we take care of these guys? Are we providing them the services they need? What can we do better? So I get a chance to look at Army policies and statute law that affects us and help shape either through rewriting those policies or our recommendations to Congress to say, we need help here, Congress, and this is where we're running into roadblocks, because sometimes over the years we have found that statute laws were written years ago, decades ago, and don't really apply to society and how we take care of our veterans today as it was done in the past. And then it can, and with that, that gives me an opportunity to see all aspects of the Army. I get to see how we run housing, how we do medical, how we do personnel issues, how we do our medical board processing, how we take care of these guys as a whole through the planning process, and then take all that knowledge and shape it into recommendations for the Secretary on how he can better the quality of life for these soldiers as we care for them, transition them, whether that is to a veteran status or back onto active duty, and then how do we help with the VA in understanding what list of disabilities and injuries that these soldiers are coming with to the VA, and trying to make that handoff as smooth as possible.
Great. I appreciate that. Now, you also, in addition to what you're doing at the Secretary of the Army's office, you also work with other organizations, right, or volunteer with other organizations supporting folks with disabilities?
That's correct. I volunteer with Disabled Sports USA to through a subchapter of them, One Green Adaptive Sports, where I teach adaptive alpine ski lessons to folks with disabilities. That's not just to our warriors and veterans. That is to any folks in our community that have disabilities. That can range from a four-year-old child with autism all the way to a 70 or 80-year-old man that may have some form of a physical disability. And it's taking an adaptive piece of equipment, whether it be a sit ski where they're in a seat that is attached to a ski and they ski down the mountain that way, to a folks that maybe just need a crutch that has an outrigger or a small ski on the bottom of it to be able to stand up in the traditional alpine ski stance and ski down the mountain that way. It gives them the opportunity to have the entire family out there on the mountain and not leave that individual with a disability back at the lodge. That's my winter programs I volunteer with. I also work with Patriot Disabled Divers in the scuba program, which I am a handicapped scuba buddy, meaning that with the dive masters and the instructors, I can help take a quadriplegic, a paraplegic, a blind diver, folks that you would not think to go scuba diving, as long as they can safely and medically be cleared to go diving, we can take those folks diving. It's just through different equipment or in the sense of like a paraplegic or a quadriplegic. I think they get the best of the world is they get to see all the beauty, but I do all the work of swimming for them.
Well, it's amazing to hear all you're doing, Matthew. That's just great. Like I said in the beginning of the program, I've been working with our Four Alliance members, veterans, and families for, gosh, close to a year and a half now. And most of them are like you, veterans helping veterans. What do you see as far as recreational therapy for, like, say, 2016 and beyond? I'm hearing figures of hundreds of thousands of veterans so far, and military families have been helped. Do you see that, or do you see it growing even faster?
No, I see that, and we, along with the medical professionals, see a lot of folks and a lot of the benefits that come through recreational therapy and sports, primarily delivering that, is because there's the therapeutic benefit of just getting out and being physical, but a lot of times those benefits come in the shape of reduced stress on joints if you're doing aquatic-type programs, or the physical benefits and of having those endorphins released in your body that help reduce the amount of medications that you might need to take. And that has actually been shown through a lot of the recreational sports and the therapy that's provided, that a lot of these guys have a much better quality of life. And with that quality of life, a lot of times their medication usage has been reduced, if not dramatically reduced.
And many of them, the veterans that I've interviewed that are actually with these organizations, they started out basically similar to what you described in the beginning. You know, you served our country, got wounded, and maybe PTSD and TBI, and they got help through recreational therapy, and now they're helping others. Are you seeing a lot of that now?
Yes. I wish more of my peers would get into it, but I do see a lot of us that have been wounded that get back out there, and we want to show our peers that you can still be active. You still can do stuff in life that's fun, that you may have done prior to. That also doesn't mean that you're going to go back to where you were prior to your military service or your injuries. And if you think about it, I mean, the statistics, I think the last time I saw the statistics from, I think it's Health and Human Services, is approximately 70% of all individuals throughout their life will develop some form of a disability throughout their life. And all this shows, these veterans is you can, if it's through just a little adaptation of equipment or such, you can still have a good quality of life. You may not be doing it the way you did it prior to your service or being wounded or injured or whether it's through illness. You can still gain those benefits from doing that.
Yep, thank you very much for sharing that. So I'm just thinking while you're talking, you mentioned earlier about letters that are being sent in to the Secretary of the Army's office. So if there's a veteran listening right now or somebody in the military and maybe they're having challenges getting help or maybe there's long delays, like we've heard some not recently, but early this year on the news, can they actually contact your office to try to get help?
Yes, they can contact our office and they can write directly to Mr. Fanning, the current acting Secretary of the Army, or they can contact through our Warrior Care and Transition Program office, which is a subset of the Army Medical Command that specifically works through all our policies and stuff for them, and those letters can either be type through either one of those avenues.
Okay, how would they do that? A phone number or a website address?
The Warrior Transition Care Office has their address listed on their website. And unfortunately, I cannot think of it off the top of my head right
okay.
now.
Okay.
But if someone needed to contact our office directly, they could definitely write in at 101 Army Pentagon, room 3E 700, Washington, D.C., 20310101.
Okay, I'll also add that, Matthew, to your talk show page. So people, when they go to the page, they'll see it. I'll make it real visible. So that's 101 Army Pentagon, room 3E700, Washington, D.C., 20310-0101. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. I'll get that on the talk show page tonight. Well, great. So I really appreciate you coming on the program tonight. You know, we've been talking for a while. Hopefully we'll meet on the East Coast sometime in 2016 to do more. Anything else you'd like to share with veterans, military families, caregivers, or even like our four alliance member organizations? Anything you'd like to share with them before I go off the air?
Well, I would like to share this is there's something that the Army's working towards, and this is one of Mr. Fanning's new goals as he transitioned into this office, is he wants to know how our veterans and how the Army can help the nation. And as we're looking through that, is how do we help set our veterans up for, and we provide a lot of these recreational programs to our veterans, but I think if we knew a good pathway that could sometimes help take our veterans and do what I've done or several others that have followed in my path, is how do we not only partake in these programs, but then how can we give back through these programs that helps us be a better member of our local communities? And a lot of times that's where I see a lot of our veterans struggling is they see these programs, they get the benefits from them, but the long-term effect is how can they give back in the sense of, mm-hmm. I think programs, when you bring them in, is if you can, try to help them get linked up with a local entity or nonprofit in their area. It gives them a sense that they can give back in a manner that, other than financial or whatever, they can actually give back and show their fellow veterans as they come through the system that there are methods for you to be out there and giving back to your community beyond what they have given you.
I appreciate you sharing that. Go ahead.
Yeah, that would be a good thing that we could definitely expand upon and want to expand upon.
Yeah, what you just shared, Matthew, I've heard from many of the veterans that are part of the organization or the R4 Alliance. I've heard that a lot. So I appreciate you sharing that so other veterans can hear this. So, before we go off the air, before we complete the program, would you like to give a shout-out to those men and women who are still serving around the world?
Yeah, by all means. To my fellow service members, whether you be in the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, even my Coast Guard peers, as you're serving through this holiday time, my hat is off to you. You are now carrying the torch that I carried so many years ago. I personally appreciate that. Know that people back home love you, care for you, want you to succeed. And when you get home, I've got a handshake for you, a pat on the back. And then if you ever get a chance, let's go skiing together. Let's go scuba diving. Let's go do something fun out there and just kick back and have a good old time and enjoy life. And we can talk up war stories, or we can talk up football or whatever. But I truly appreciate it. My family appreciates you, and I know this country appreciates you.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Matthew. It's great. I know you're busy and all that. I appreciate you being able to come on the program tonight. And early next year, I'm going to email you when I know the dates. I'm definitely going to be in D.C., and maybe we can do something on video next time.
By all means, I would love to. I'd love to expand and love to help any way I can.
Great. Well, I appreciate that very much. So I know I always do this with soldiers, but you mentioned family. Do you want to give a shout-out to family and friends?
Yeah, my family that's here in Virginia, love you guys. And to all my military families out there who have been a part of my family even beyond our service together, appreciate you. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Celebrate the holidays, however you're going to celebrate.
Great. Thank you very much, Matthew, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, too.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, Bob.
Thank you very much. Well, folks, you've been listening again on TalkingWithHeroes.com. Matthew A. Statton, he's a Iraq veteran, staff assistant to Secretary of the Army, just shared a whole bunch of information. And so if you know anybody that has served, that is serving, or military families, please share this with them so they can hear this too. I think they'd really appreciate you doing that for them to get the word out. And we'll have about this program, as we've been doing all our programs, on our Facebook pages, on LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google+, Twitter. And, of course, thank you for your service.us. But if you see any of the posts on social media, please share them with other people. And we'll be back starting off 2016. We have a number of major things that we're hoping to get launched in January. We're also working on some more possible on-the-road video episodes like we did towards the end of 2015 and with R4 Alliance member organizations on some of their retreats. And so I want to say to all the men and women who are serving right now around the world, I know we have many of you are possibly in areas where there you could be in harm's way. Thank you for your service to you and your families back home. Be safe. Stay alert. God bless you. And everybody across America, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. God bless you. God bless America.